We'll find out next.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Can he be as legendary as Tony Smith?
Well, Jason Wilde will have the chance to discuss Jair Alexander. I don't know if I had 0%, maybe 1%. Others, I believe, were at about 5%, and they have changed. Something is going on worthy of some discussion. Jason, good evening.
Good evening, Stephen. How are you?
I'm awesome, but a bit sad. Though the Bucks are up 18 with the understanding of the possibility that this could be Giannis's last game with the Bucks.
You've certainly said that kind of stuff a lot lately.
I've told people all year that just go to see as many games that this it could happen. Now, I'm hoping that Giannis is so nice that given all the difficulties the team has in terms of putting a group together, and I said this before any injury to Damian Lillard, I'm hoping that with the new team or young players or whatever they do, that Giannis will give them 1 year before he leaves. Because he's still young. It's not as if he's limiting what he could do somewhere else. So that's my wish. Giannis.
Yeah, they're definitely cooked now, though.
Yes, and so they're cooked. Give us 1 year to see what we can do while cooked. See how the team...
Well, maybe he's... If anybody strikes you as someone who would stick it out and face the challenge of figuring out a way to be good again after Lillard's injury and everything else, he strikes me as the type of guy that would do that. So.
And more people would be willing to accept my theory this could be his last year. But, yeah, I think that's what you're saying. And, yeah, let's just give him 1 year and let's see what happens with, as you said, and everybody's aware of, and it's going to be the lead story in the offseason, all the different limitations that exist for the Bucks to try to put a team together, new team.
They've got a 35-year-old guy with a ruptured Achilles that's got a very large contract. They don't have any first-round picks that are any good.
Right. And
if they even have them at all. Yeah,
and Lillard, it's fair. Lillard's not going to play next season. You'd hope, but...
Wouldn't think so.
Yeah. And why take the extra risk of trying to come back soon? I mean, I'm Damian Lillard, gone for a year. I'll do whatever so that I can be ready for the start of the following season. All right, let's get to Jair Alexander. I'm happy to talk about it because there's so many fascinating parts to it. But I would ask you, what do you want people to think right now and feel that it's as accurate as it can be?
This is why we always say let's not do 0% or 100%.
Correct.
Because you never quite know. Now, do I still think from an odds perspective it's still most likely over? I do. I have always thought, and we've talked about this, that it's not like Jair Alexander going somewhere else is going to get paid some exorbitant sum. He's got to be able to prove that he's going to stay healthy and be the player that he's been in 2020 and 2022. And so it's not like if the Packers released him, he would suddenly sign a new deal with, $40 million guaranteed. That's just not the scenario. Again, I don't know what they have. I have not talked to Goody or LaFleur in the last couple of days. Again, anytime a general manager says he's on our roster for now, we all know that's code, but we don't plan on him being on the roster. Now, if somehow this becomes a, keep the marriage going for the kids type of deal where, well, I don't have anybody else I really like more, and you don't have a new team that you like more, so let's see what we can do together for another year and work it out. That's never been out of the realm of possibility. At the same time, I don't want this to suddenly turn into, oh, he's definitely coming back. Because, let's not lose sight of the fact of how frustrated this team was, and as you have pointed out, how frustrated he was about the way that he was, the injury was doubted or people showed public frustration, all that stuff that bothered him too. So again, There's a reason why he stood in the middle of the locker room on clean out day after the loss to the Eagles and declared, I don't even know, you don't want to talk to me. I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year. There's a reason why Keyshawn Nixon felt comfortable in proclaiming himself DB1 when Jair was very much still on the roster. But the draft did not go, it did not fall in a manner that the Packers were able to add a corner when they felt comfortable adding one. So maybe both teams look at it, or both sides look at it and go, okay, well, maybe we can work something out. Maybe we can get past this. But I still think that that's a low probability.
In agreeing with something could happen, while I certainly believe that Jair is not happy with kind of what was said directly or indirectly, he hasn't said, I'm not coming back. What
he hasn't said anything.
I know. But, I mean, like he could easily say, hey, don't worry about the Packers. Say, look at me. I'm not playing for this team ever again. But
yeah,
he's – what and why has the advice from his team been not to say anything?
Yeah, I don't know his agent well, but I don't feel like you've seen the kind of, like, for other corners, big name guys, they usually can't bite their tongues. Either their agents can't or they can't, right? And in this case, like, again, he's under contract. He holds the cards because if he wants to leave, and the Packers are like, look, we actually would like to keep him, but you got to take a pay cut. He can say no, and then either they have to decide to pay him what he's owed or move on from him. I mean, there's always the possibility, too, that he could get the Josh Sitton treatment, which was, if you remember in 2016, him going through camp and being this surprise cut at the end of camp because he was grousing about his not getting an extension, and they just said, all right, well, you went through all of training camp, and then they cut him. So that's still a possibility, too. Do I know for certain that Jair Alexander will or will not line up in his number 23 green jersey on opening day for the Green Bay Packers? I don't. Do I think it's most likely, whether it's now or a trade comes together in, June, or they move on from him during training camp or at the end of training camp? Do I think the odds are more likely that he's playing for someone else than he is playing for Green Bay? I think that too. So again, I don't know how wide the door does not strike me as wide open, like removed from the hinges open. It strikes me as open a crack. And the possibility of it slamming with some wind coming through is possible. The possibility of it slowly closing is possible. And the possibility of maybe them pushing it open a little farther so he can walk back through the door and into Lambeau Field is possible too. But I still think the last one's the least likely.
Does the new defensive coordinator play a factor in any way?
I think he does. I think Xavier McKinney does.
In wanting him back or?
In wanting him back, but also influencing him. I do think it's important that while Matt LaFleur sometimes allowed his frustration to bubble up publicly with Jair, so it was obvious, right? I never saw that from Jeff Hafley. I never saw him show that frustration. Every time Jeff Hafley would say, well, Jair's hurt. He's injured. He's not available to us, so we got to figure something else out. So, I think he authentically, and I remember talking to him during the offseason last year and then during training camp again, and he really felt a connection with Hafley. He felt a really strong connection with the strength and conditioning staff, which he hadn't previously. Well, those factors are still there. Those people are still there that he feels respected by. He felt like he was on the same page with the training staff and the medical staff. Now, again, I don't know what this knee issue, this PCL tear or sprain or whatever they decided to term it at the time, I don't know if that changed the dynamic at all or not. I don't know. You know, I do think that that moment in Chicago where he said, all right, I'm going to play, and LaFleur said, okay, you're going to be on a pitch count, but we're going to get you out there, and then for him to pull himself after only playing 10 snaps in the first quarter, you know, I don't know if they get past that or not. But I do know this. Matt LaFleur believes that Jair Alexander is still a very good football player. Whether or not he's willing to, whether or not the organization is willing to pay him the salary he's owed, and whether or not they're willing to roll the dice again on whether he could stay healthy, that I don't know the answer to. But I don't have any doubt that when healthy, he is a very good football player. And I think his head coach and his defensive coordinator feel the same way.
And what do you believe is the thought around the league about his ability? My assumption is if there were teams that thought he was that good, that a trade would have been possible, likely. But maybe my presumption is wrong.
Well, I think the trade dynamic changes now, right? The draft is past us. So now, in theory, and again, I don't know, I have not asked Goody this. Goody did say that at the end of the draft, he was trying to engineer some trades where he would accumulate more picks for next year. You know, like a team wants to go up in the seventh round to take a specific player. And so Goody says, all right, well, give me your seventh rounder this year that's too far back, and give me next year's seventh, and then you can go up to 237 and get the guy you're targeting. He was trying to do that. Well, in Jair's case now, if you trade him now, you can make it a conditional pick, right? So it could be a conditional sixth, and if he doesn't make your team, it's nothing. And if he ends up playing 12 games, it's a fifth-round pick. And if he ends up leading the league in interceptions, it's a third-round pick. Like, now you can make conditional pick trades, and maybe that leads to a team saying, okay, I'm willing to take the chance on that now because I need corner help. And if I'm right about him as a different team, I get a bargain of this two-time All-Pro, and he didn't really cost me much.
What has surprised you, if anything, in the process to this point?
Look, I have never heard a general manager during my time covering this team say that if he's not going to be on our roster, then I want to get something for him because we've invested a lot in him. I've just never heard that. And, you know, Goody always likes to say that he doesn't deal in hypotheticals. But the first word of that quote is if. That's hypothetical. Hypothetically, if he's not on the team, well, I want to get something in return for him. So I was kind of hoping I'd have a chance during our three times that we talked to Goody over the draft, say, let me ask you a hypothetical. And then he says, well, I don't answer hypotheticals. And I would say, well, you did it with Jair if he's not on our team. But I didn't get the opportunity. So my point is that that's the surprise. Like between that and then he's on our roster right now, like, again, the breadcrumbs that Goody has dropped have not been especially optimistic for him sticking around for another season. That doesn't surprise me, but the fact that he's kind of betrayed that publicly has been surprising to me.
Why is Goody doing it?
Because I think he has serious doubts about whether Jair Alexander can play 12 out of 17 games for him. And at $16 million, if you're getting 8 games out of him, or, you know, the last 2 years, 7 games out of him, that's a lot to pay for a guy that, and I do think this, I think coaches want certainty. And the uncertain nature of him being available week to week grates on coaches, and they have to try and figure out backup plans, and they got to rep guys at multiple spots. So if you're repping a guy at nickel and at outside corner because you don't know if Jair is going to play or not, when you do that, then that guy's quality of work isn't as good, so then you're not as confident in wherever you have to play him. So coaches want a guy that they know they can count on. And, you know, Isaiah Simmons is a great example. Like, This is the linebacker
from the
slash
Giants that they just got.
Safety that they officially signed today. You know, you could say he was the eighth overall pick. He hadn't played up to expectations. You can say all kinds of things about his career, but the dude's never missed a game. He is durable, and that counts for something. And obviously, Jair, the last 2 years, and then obviously when he suffered the shoulder injury in 2021, has not been durable.
And last question, do you think Goody, when this is over, would say, look, everybody was just in such a rush. Nothing really changed from the very beginning. This was going to happen. It was just a question of how long it took or whatever. Or do you think there's been any change with him?
I don't, but I don't know that for sure.
Right.
Again, I look at it as if I'm Goody, and even if I've made up my mind that I don't want him back, I want to try like heck to get something for him. And now, like we just talked about, you know, opening up the possibility of compensatory picks, maybe that says I'm willing to wait.
And there's no rush. Like when will you come on and say, Homer, there's a rush now? Clearly, there's no rush now to do anything, correct?
Well, I mean, and look, if they're going to keep him in the training camp, which, again, it feels unlikely,
right,
but if they're going to do that, then I hope they, you know, here's the other problem. Like, I know Matt Schneidman from The Athletic went through all 154 photos that Evan Siegel took from yesterday's first on-field work with all the with the off-season program. And no pictures of Jair,
yeah,
right? So I think he's probably right that he wasn't there. But if you're entertaining the possibility of him sticking around, then you can't be telling him, hey, you know what, until we get this figured out, don't come in. Like, if you think you might keep him, then you should let him take part. But, again, they also don't want him, you know, tripping and falling on the curb on Oneida Street and wrenching his knee, and then they're on the hook for his salary because suffered an injury.
They have reason to be worried about his injuries. All right. Appreciate it, Jason, and thanks for the extra time. And I feel pretty comfortable about my position at whatever.
I think you'll still be proven right.
1%. Yep. All right. Thanks, Jason.
Yep. All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. Let's see. The Bucs scored the first 13 points of the game, and Tony Smith said, Homer, it's a long game. I now have it at, I think, 42-32. The Bucs still ahead with about 4 minutes left to go. Thanks to Tony Smith and his legendary, and I know Pebble will put it up. But 94.5 ESPN having the Brewers game, correct? So that'll be a little bit after 6. Next.